Just one Hosafa from yesterday. We ended off with the whole discussion about how it was possible to have a Thursday, a Yetzias Mitzrayim on a Thursday and a Kabbalah's Torah on a Shabbos. It's not 50 days later. So we raised the question of, well, who said that Shavuos and Matan Torah have anything to do with each other? So the Pasuk in Emor says as follows. It's Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Tes Vav. Usfartum lochem bimachos haShabbos yom haShviyach masofer tenufa Shabbos Shabbos tmitziyena ad bimachos haShabbos haShviyach tisbu chamishim yom. Rashi says vlo ad bechlal, so it's only 49 days counting. Right, ad chamishim, but not including chamishim. Bekrav to mincha chadash al Hashem. So clearly, the yontif of Shavuos is 49 days later. That's clear. There is a Gemara that says that Shavuos could be on Dalet Hay or Vav or Zayin Sivan. So I guess it could happen that it doesn't necessarily have to be tied to 50 days.
No, it's 50 days. It's 50 days,
it's just the date's not the same. Malei Chaser, 50 days, but the date's not the same. But how does it answer that year? That's the only problem. How does it answer that year? You're right, Ein Hachanami, every year it wouldn't have to necessarily be on we, that's what the Machzor HaShekel goes into. We have established Vav Sivan. That's us. Whenever they made the calendar, Hillel, whoever did that, establish it as Vav Sivan. Could have been Dalit, it could have been Hay, it could have been Zayin. Right? Not a problem, because it all goes by Riyas HaChodesh. In HaChanami. The question is, what about that year? That's the only issue that I still have remaining.
Why?
Because if we're assuming that Shavuos was 50 days later, and it was a Shabbos, and left on a Thursday, how did it all fit in? So Shavuos was a Matan Torah. I think that's a little docha to say that. I think the answer is going to be something, well, Moshe added the day. If Moshe added the day, it could have been maybe 50-51 days that year, maybe. I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, that's when we started
discussion. Right. Okay, Toshma, top line. Toshma of Peches Amar Aleph. We'll a little bit more about the dates, and then we'll go on to all new stuff. Toshma, Tanya, Seder Olam. We learned in Seder Olam. Seder Olam is a collection of brises of history going from Adam Rishon till whoever wrote it lived. It was generally assumed to be Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta, Rabbi Yossi. It says over there in Seder Olam that Nisan Shabo Yatzi Yisrael B'Mitzrayim that year by Arbasar Shachtu on the 14th day Shechtu the Karban Pesach Shachtu Pesachen B'Chamisha Asar on the 15th Yatzi they went out V'Otzo Yom Erev Shabbos Haya that there was a Friday. If you hold it was a Friday, you have no problems. First of all, you have no problems with what I was just mentioned before. 50 days later is Shabbos, works out perfectly. Anyway, that day they left on a Friday. Umidereish Yarcha de Nisan. Since Rosh Chodesh Nisan was Erev Shabbos, if they left on a Friday, 15th was a Friday, so also Rosh Chodesh was a Friday. Reish Yarcha de Iyar Chad b'Shabbata. So the Rosh Chodesh Iyar was on a Sunday. The Sivan betrayed b'Shabbata, and the Sivan was on a Monday. Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on a Monday. So Kasha l'Rabbi Yossi. It's Kasha and Rabbi Yossi who holds that Rosh Chodesh was on a Sunday. I'm not Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said no. Hamani Rabban and he. That Brisa of Seder Olam is the Rabbanon, even though I wrote that Seder Olam, because I'm Rabbi Yossi, and I'm the author of that Seder Olam. So the Rosh Chodesh says it could be that he included things that he didn't necessarily agree with, but that was the consensus sheet that he put that in. So it's not a steer on him per se, but that Seder Olam will have to go like the Rabbanon. Fine. Tashma, another one, another question. Rabbi Yossi says, B'sheni Allah. Moshe v'yarat on the second day of Sivan he went up and he came down. B'shlishi ol v'yarat on the third day he went up and he went down. Meaning every day Moshe went up and went down and kept telling Bnei Israel different commandments. Batem tilim lachis kohanim and the mitzvah of prisha and the mitzvah of hagbalah, all these things. B'dalid yarad on the fourth he came down. But v'shuv lo Allah he never didn't go up after that. So the Gemara asks umayachar shlo Allah if he never went back up. So Behechad Yard, had he come down. In other words, the Torah doesn't say that he went up, but just as he came down that day. Right, Bervi Olav Yard. On the fourth day. What? This is the week before Matan Torah.
Before?
The week before. So he went up the mountain every single day of that week as well.
When they're supposed to be separating?
Right, when they're supposed to be getting ready. So every day he went up, and every day he came back down and told him another tzivui. And by the way, today Hashem said that you should do this. And today Hashem said, Melechet Kohanim. And today Hashem said, every day was another event. As we had before, right? On Sunday, nothing was happening because they were tired. Then on Monday, they got this mitzvah. Remember, we had that 2 days ago. So it's going over it again. So you're right. El Bervi, Olav, Yara. On the fourth day, he went up and down. B'chamishi, Bana Mizbeach. On the fifth day, on that Thursday there, he built a Mizbeach. There's a pasuk over there that they brought Karbanos. The Hikri of Olav, Karban. B'shishi, lo ha'ilo p'nai. On Friday, nothing went on because Moshe didn't have time. So the Gemara asks, my lav mishub Torah? Isn't it true that the reason he didn't have time was because he got the Torah that day? So you see, the Torah was given on a Friday, not on Shabbos. Right? That's the kasha of the Gemara. So the Gemara answers, no, not because of that. Mishum Torah Shabbos. The reason why he was busy getting ready for Shabbos. Like the Gemara says, Eliyahu Hanavi is not coming on an Erev Shabbos. Mashiach is not coming on Erev Shabbos. People are busy with Shabbos. He wasn't busy with Kabbalah Torah. Kabbalah Torah was Shabbos. He was busy with making Shabbos. So on Friday, he didn't go up to the mountain. Fine. Darish, Hahu. Okay, now basically we're done with all the dates. And we hold Vav Sivan. That's what we do. That's what we're doing today. As I mentioned before, that there's a Mishnah that says that Ein Hachinami Shavuos could have been on Dalet Hey Vav Zayin Sivan, depending on the moon, and it would always be 50 days, but it would not necessarily be Vav Sivan. So that ends all that discussion. Now we're going to go to the left of the daf is all about Matan Torah. This is all the stuff that you always hear Mincha Maariv on Shavuos. Darish Ahu Gliloi Aleya D'Rav Chisda. A certain person from the Galil was standing over Rav Chisda, Rashi explains, and he said the following. He said, Baruch Rachmana, blessed Hashem, the Yav Uryan Tilisa, who gave the Torah in thirds, meaning Torah Nevi'im and Ksuvim, La'am Tilisa, to a nation of thirds, meaning Kahanim, Levi'im, and Yisraelim, Al Yadei Tilisa, and the messenger, the vehicle, was Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the third born in the family, after Miriam and Aaron, B'yom Tilisa, B'yarcha, B'yom Tilisa, on the third day after they got the mitzvah of separating, meaning the third day when they were pure, B'yarcha Tilisa, in the third month, right? So if it was the third day after Prisha, who can that only be like? That's Kiman. That has to be like Kirabanan, the Rabbanan, because according to Biosi, it was on the fourth day after Prisha, as we've been saying all along. And the Rambam says that a person should divide his learning into thirds. Third Torah, third Mishnah, third Halacha, and many people say that Gemara, you include all three. Right. Okay, so it says in the Pasuk in Shemos by Aseret HaDibros, Vayisyatvu Batachtis Hahor, and they stood, and they were standing underneath the mountain. Amar of Avdimi Barachasa, the famous Gemara, Malamed, we see from here, Shekafa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleihem Es Hahar Kigigas, that Hashem lifted the mountain over the Bnei Yisrael, and told them, and Kigigas is like a vat that you hold beer. So basically, he held it over them, the Omer Lehem, he told them, Im atem makabel matorah mutav. If you accept the Torah right here, very good. V'im lav, and if not, Shom tehe kivuraschem. This will be your grave. This will be your burial. So first of all, Rashi says that the vort of tachtis, like how does that, because it should have said tachas. Why didn't it say tachas ahar? Tachas ahar would have meant by the mountain. When he uses a funny expression, tachtis, it means they were literally, Rashi says, mamish. They were mamish under the mountain. How could they be under the mountain? Hashem lifted it over them. That's the only way it could happen. Otherwise, that you would have said it was meant the foot of the mountain, the foot of the mountain. But no, it says tachtis. They were under the mountain. So the Tav Tosfos asks the famous question, why was it necessary for Hashem to lift the mountain over the Bnei Yisrael and force them to accept the Torah? They said, Nasa v'nishma. They said, Nasa v'nishma. Tosfos answers that the reason why they had to be forced was because maybe they were going to be chozer, they were going to take it back because they were so frightened by the fire, by the ash, by the thunder. They were so frightened by the whole experience, maybe they were going to take it back. So to make sure they didn't take it back, they were forced. There are seven pshatim of what we're going to do, all seven. The Maharal says, write them down. The Maharal says it doesn't mean that Hashem actually literally lifted up the mountain over them. He explained that it was figurative. They were so overwhelmed by the experience. They were so overwhelmed by Kabbalah Torah. It's as if Hashem did this. He didn't really, really, really do it. The Tanchuma says that the only Nasa Vishma only referred to Torah Shabbat, that they're willing to accept Torah Shabbat Peh, which is the interpretation of the Torah by the Rabbanon, that they had to be forced to, that they didn't want to accept by themselves. The Ramban says that they only agreed to accept the Torah Nasa Vishma only in Eretz Yisrael, where the Ramban has his shita that Eretz Yisrael is the key makom to performing mitzvos, but in Chutz La'aretz they weren't accepting it for galus, which fits in very well with the next line that by Achashverosh, which is really the first time that the Bnei Yisrael were in galus, but that's like the end of the 70 years when the story of Purim happened. That's when they accept. That's the Gemara is going to say in a few minutes that kimu v'kiblu, they accepted it again by Achashverosh, what they had already agreed to, meaning. The first time we only agreed Baratzon to only to be in Eretz Yisrael. But now that we're in Galus, we're agreeing even for Galus. Even for all time. The Chos of Lublin says that it's like he gives it a comparison like a wedding. When you get married, when you're in love with a Kala, you'll say anything. Right? You'll agree to anything. And then when the romance and when all the feelings wear off, you start to have second thoughts. So Nasa Vinishma, we were so excited about being close to Hashem, Nasa Vinishma. When after a while, so Hashem said, no, this is not a temporary deal, and he it was Kofel im Harki Gigas. The Sfasemes says that they were willing to accept the Torah, but they were not willing to be Moser Nefesh for the Torah. But that they were not willing to have Harg Val Yavor, they were not willing to do any of that. That's the only aspect of Kabbalah Satorah that had to be forced on them. And he says that makes sense because we're going to see in a minute that Rav is going to say, since we were forced, we have an out. We have an out. Rav Acham Yaakov says, Modor Rabba lo Raisa. We have a Modor, we have a statement from the Torah that we're an Ones. We're an Ones from us. We're an Ones. So the Sfasemer says, no, the only onus regarding Horg Val Yavor. It's the only thing. And there's a whole question what that means, because it means every time somebody was punished, how could anyone have been punished until Purim? How could they have been punished? I could say they were an onus. It was forced on me. All these pshatim. What do you mean? It was forced on me. So what do you want from me? So some say it's just figurative. Some say it refers to only if you're only. It's an excuse that somebody doesn't want to keep the Torah will throw out. Right? You don't want to keep the Torah anyway, so you say, well, I was forced. So the Sfasemet says that the only out you can have is regarding Mesiras Nefesh. And the last one, the Yalkut Gershuni, says that the whole reason why the Bnei Yisrael did not want to accept the Torah was because in tomorrow's daf, the Gemara is going to say that accepting the Torah caused Klal Yisrael to be hated by the Goyim. Because they're different, so that's what they didn't want to accept it for. They didn't want to be. They didn't want to have all this anti-Semitism and all this hatred. They didn't want that. So Hashem said, "But that's not the plan. So you're gonna have to be forced." And that's how it ties in very well to Purim, because in Purim was the first time in Jewish history where they were totally assimilated, and they went to the party of Achashverosh and they lived with the Goyim, and it didn't help one bit. There was still a Gzeira Lahashu Laharugul La'abe that's called Yehudim. So when they realized that it doesn't make a difference. Then they will makabel all the Torah ba'ahava. That's Kofal and Hakigigas. So why does it say, one more, why does it say, Sham Tehei Kuvaraschem, there will be your end, as opposed to Po or Khan, right here is going to be your end. What do you mean there is going to be your end? So Rav once said this by Shal Shudas, I called him last night to remind myself, because the Havamina was, that somebody, the people that were there could have said, we don't necessarily need the Torah. We saw Yetzias Mitzrayim. We saw the Makos. We believe Hashem. We believe fully. We don't need the Torah to keep us straight. We saw everything to keep us straight. So the answer is yes. You saw it. What about your children and the grandchildren? They didn't see it. So the Torah is a necessary connection. If you don't have the Torah, then Sham, for them, it's going to be the end. You maybe not, but for them. That's why it stresses the word Sham and it doesn't say Po or Khan. Omar Rava, FLP came, nevertheless, Hadur Kibluha Bibi Achashverosh. They receive the Torah again during the times of Achashverosh. The Ksiv, because it says, Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim. That the Bnei Yisrael accepted. Kimu, they accepted. Masha Kiblu Kfar, what they had already agreed to. And as we said before, this is everything v'shlemus, everything with Ahava, and that's also famous. Omar Chizkiya, by the Ksiv. What does it mean when it says in the pasuk Mishmaya Mishmata Din Eretz? Mishmaya Mishmata Din. The heaven heard the judgment. Eretz Yira Uvishkata. The earth was afraid and it was quiet. So Im Yira, if it was afraid, Lama Shkata. Why was it quiet? Vim Shkata, and if it was quiet, Lama Yira. Why was the earth afraid? Ela Betzila Yira. For first it was afraid. Ula Besov Shkata. And then it was quiet. The Lama Yira. And why was it afraid? Kedirish Lakish. Amr Shlakish. Kedirish Lakish says, Ma'i Ditziv. What does it mean? Vayera Vayivoka Yom Hashishi. Right? By the other 5 days of the week, it doesn't say Ha Shlishi Harvi, but by Friday it says Yom Hashishi, alluding to Hey Yisera. Why is there an extra hey there? Lamali, what's it doing there? Extra hey? Malam made Shehisna HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Maisa Bereishis. Hashem made a Tanai with Maisa Bereishis. Va'amu Lahem and said to them, Im Yisrael Makabal Torah Atem Iskayim. If the Bnei Yisrael will accept the Torah, then this you will have a Kiyam. V'yam Lav, and if not, and I'll return the world to Tohu Vavohu. So the earth was scared, what's going to be? And once the Bnei Israel accepted the Torah, then the earth got quiet because it was okay. Only question I have is, the Tosfos Rid asked this question. I didn't understand his answer. He says, who did Hashem make this tonight with? Hashem can't make it tonight with another party regarding the third party. Hashem made it tonight with my deliberations about the actions of someone else? It's not a fair tonight. What kind of tonight is that? Right? Should have made the tonight with Bnei. If you don't, he's making the tonight with my separation. My separation is not a party to this deal. They have nothing to say about it. So why are they up for change based on the actions of Klal Yisrael? My separation didn't do anything. So my separation is going to go back to Tohu Vavohu because of the actions of Klal Yisrael. That's not fair. Right.
If this happened, then the guest being like something's making a sign with the guest, he's making a sign on himself, but it's gonna affect
with him. Which is a bit saying Hashem's making a sign with himself, but just that the parties that are involved are the other parties. Okay, that's probably the answer. Now that you said get, so you reminded me of one thing. The Chazal Blin says also, he says there are three famous Agadas of Gemara throughout Shas. One is this one. The second one is all about Kamsa Bar Kamsa. Everybody knows that Gemara. And the third one is all about the Mon. All the famous stories that happen in the Mon, Rebbe Masechta's Yuma. So he says, why are they Zocha to be in these Masechtas? So he says, all the Matan Torah Gemara is in Masechta Shabbos because it happened on Shabbos. And the Mon is in Masechta's Yuma because Yuma is Yom Kippur, and all your Parnassah, and the Mon was both. The Mon was Gashmit and Ruchniyus. It's all decided on Yom Kippur. And Kamsa Bar Kamsa and all the Gemara of Tisha B'Av, which everybody knows, is in Masechta's Gittin because that was the separation between Klal Yisrael and the Beit HaMikdash. Okay. Darshab Simoi. Bashar Sheikh Dimur Yisrael Nasa Vinishma. When the Bnei Yisrael accepted the Torah and said Nasa Vinishma, Bashisha Mibri Shalmachi Ashari Sechalech and Vyachad Yisrael, 600,000 angels came to each Jew, Kashulo Shnei Kisarim, and gave them two crowns. Echad Keneged Nasa, Vyachad Keneged Nishma. One for Nasa and one for Nishma. Which means that each word of this statement was special. So all the Mepharshim asked, why is Nishma special? They said Nasa. We'll do. Now, we have to know what to do. So we have to hear Nishma. So what's the godless of Nishma? They have to say Nishma. Otherwise, what are they going to do? Nasa, we'll do whatever it is. Now we have to know what it is. Nishma, tell us what it is. So why does that warrant the crown? What's so special about that? So the answer is, and this is what the Beis HaLevi says, that the Nishma, first of all, it wasn't just, okay, let's hear what we got to do because we said Nasa. No, it was a Nishma. It was a hearing and internalizing and making it a part of your life. That's A. And B, the Beis HaLevi says that it was referring to Talmud Torah for Torah's sake. Nishma, we're going to listen, we're going to learn Torah just for Torah's sake. Not just to do. Not just to know what to do, just to learn because there's a separate mitzvah, Keneged Kulam, of learning. The Kivot Shechatu Yisrael, when the Bnei Yisrael sinned, Yardu Me'ev Esri Ribuya Malachi Chabala. 120,000 angels of destruction came down, Upirkam, and we had to remove them. So how come you need a double? One angel could have done... If one angel put both on, why couldn't one angel remove them? So there's a few pshatim here. Some say because at the time they said Nasa v'Nishma, it became one. It was one inyan, so they only had one angel. But once they sinned, it became like two separate events. You needed two. Others say this fits in with the principle that Midah Tova is Yoser and Midah Peronius. So one angel was able to carry two for good, but for bad they're weaker. So they need an extra angel to help them remove them. Shneimer, like it says, v'yitznatzlu b'nei Yisrael as edyam, and b'nei Yisrael were cleaned out of their glory. Mehar Chorev. Amar b'chamar b'chanina b'chorev ta'anu in chorev they were loaded up with these b'chorev pirku and in chorev they were removed with them b'chorev ta'anu k'dam amar we just said that they were given them and b'chorev pirku d'ktiv v'yisnatzel b'nei Yisrael and the b'nei Yisrael were stripped of their glory. Amar b'yochanan v'zochan v'kulon zochan Moshe v'natlan and Moshe was zochan to all that and he took everybody's crowns. The Samachlai, because it says the Moshe yigach es ohel and Moshe took the tents, which is a reference to all the crowns that the B'nai Yisrael were wearing. Amr Shlokish Asad HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zivun Lanu, Hashem will ultimately return him to us. Shnemar, because it says, Upadui Hashem Yishuvun, and the redeemed ones will return. Obo, B'tzion, they'll come to Tzion, Berina, with happiness, V'simcha, Simcha, Olam Al Roshem Simcha. Shemi Olam Al Roshem, that'll be on their heads, the former crowns that were taken away. And these crowns represent the Asays, and the Los Asays, and they represent the Nigla of Torah, the Sisri of Torah, all the different, why there are two, what Nasa and Nishma represent. Amr Belazar, B'shoah Shekdimu Yisrael Nasa L'Nishma, at the time that B'nai Yisrael said Nasa before Nishma, Yassas Abasko V'Amra, Abasko went out and said, V'Amra Lohan, Mi Gila Labonai, Roz, Zeh. Who told my children about this secret? Shemalach Yashoris Mishtam Shimbo. This is what the angels use. The angels say Nasa V'Nishma Tekziv, because it says, Baruch Hu Hashem Malachov, Gibore Koach, Osei Devarov, L'Shmoro B'Kol. Right, so the Pasuk says, Devaro B'Reisha, B'Devaro, B'Reisha Osei V'Hado L'Shmoro. First the Pasuk talks about doing and then listening. So you see, that's something the angels employ, and the B'nai Yisrael copied it. Amr B'Chomi B'Rabbi Chanina, Mad Dikziv Kitapuach Ba'atzei Hayar, that in the apple field, right, so Loma Nimshalu Yisrael V'Tapuach, why are the B'nai Yisrael compared to apples? Loma Lach to tell you, Ma Tapuach Zeh, Pirio kodem olav, just like a tapuah, a pirya of the fruit sprouts before the leaves. Af Yisrael, so to the Bnei Yisrael, hikdimu nase l'nishma. They said nase before they said nishma. Tosfos says it's not true. Apple trees don't have this quality. So Tosfos explains it's talking about the esrog. It's the esrog. The Bnei Yisrael compared to the esrog, and Tosfos says l'shitaso because on Pesach Tosfos the Gemara says there's a thing that when you make charoses you should put in apples because they're sharp. Tosfos says apples aren't sharp. Tosfos says it means an esrog. Throw in an esrog. Esrogs are very sharp. They're very bitter, and it'll remind you of the mortar of the Yetzias Mitzrayim of Shibud Mitzrayim. So Tosfos says because you have a pasuk where sometimes an esrog is called an apple. To call it a tapuah. Right. That's the misconception about right. So we spoke about that once. I thought it was even deeper than that. Because tapuah, the what? Tapuah, first of all, is a generic word for fruit. But I thought about why people mistake it for apples. Because Gan Eden is compared to an apple field. If you have a look, when Yaakov came into the brachos by Yitzchak, and it says he smelled the reach hasadeh. Rashi says Gan Eden like apples. And if you look at a siddur on Friday nights, before you say lachadodi, there's a line there that the Mekubalim say, and it says we're coming to the apple field, which is a reference to Gan Eden. Right, but we call tapuach an apple, so we probably got a misconception that the tree in Gan Eden was an apple tree. Not necessarily true, but because Gan Eden has, for whatever reason, it's compared to an apple tree, an apple field, an apple orchard. You have it by Yitzchak, you have it by Kabbalah Shabbos. Okay. That's not really getting off on a tangent. Hu Tzeduki, there was a certain Tzeduki. The Chazil Rabbi, saw Rabba. The Kama'ayin B'Shmaita, Rabba was learning. V'yasiv Edzba'ase Didei, Tusei Kari. And his fingers were under his leg. Somehow he was sitting like that. The Kama'ayitz Behu, his fingers were getting squeezed. Right? Ma'ayitz comes from the word Matitza. His fingers were getting squeezed. The Kama'ayin Edzba'ase Dama. And they were bleeding out blood. His fingers were bleeding. So Amalei, so this guy, this Tzeduki, said to Rabba, I'm a Paziza, you're such a rushed nation, such a quick nation. The Kadmisu Pumaichu La Adonaichu, that you put your mouth before your ears, meaning you said Nasa Benishma. Akati Piz Huzaisu Kamaisu. You're still a rushed nation. Bereisha Yibayu Luchu L'Mashmiya. First you should have heard. I Matsitsu, and if you liked it, then Kabilsu, you should have accepted it. The E Lo Lo. The low local bills, we shouldn't have accepted it. So Ravi answered back, Amalei, Anan, Disanginon, Bishlim Musa. We are secure in our protection of Hashem. Shiv Bon, because it says about us, Tumas Yisharim Tinachem. The upright will be led in rightly. Hanach inchi desagan ba'alilusa, but you that are steeped in immorality, tzibhu, it says about you, tzelaf bogdim yishdam, you'll wither away, you'll be destroyed. So Rava was saying, you know, you're so quick, it's a nasa v'nishma, you're sitting with like that on your fingers, and Rava said, don't worry about it, we're trusting in Hashem. What? I don't know. Amar of Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar of Yonasan. My diksiv, what does it mean when it says in the pasuk, Livavtani achosi kala, Livavtani ba'achas me'inayach, that I become close to my kala with one eye. So first you become close only with one eye, meaning first you have a little bit of a revelation about the kala. And when you get closer and there's more affection, then you learn more about the kala. Like it's like a mashal between us and Hashem. So you start off slow, and then the more you know, the more you'll grow. Amar Ula, Ulba, it was a big chutzpah, it was a terrible bezoyon, kala mizana bezoch kupasa. What the Bnei Israel did of sinning by the Egel, right at the foot of Har Sinai, was just like a kala being mizana with somebody else under the chuppah. Right? The Bnei Israel, the whole maisa of Mount Taurus compared to a wedding, it's the same exact thing. Omer of Mori, Berea Debash Shmuel, Rav Mori, the son of the daughter of Shmuel, said, right, we don't mention his name because, the father's name, because he was a guy. And Shmuel's daughter became pregnant while he was a guy, and then he converted afterwards. So because of the Gnai of the whole story, we only always mention this person, Rav Mori, as the son of the daughter of Shmuel. Anyway, Mikra, what does the pasuk say? Adshai melech b'mesibo nirdai. Right, while the king is still at the party, you're already stenching up the party. That's the continuation of the pasuk. Nosan, I think the last two words are Nosan Recho. You give off stink. So Amar Rab, v'adayim chavivusei hi gabon. But Hashem is still close to us. He still loves us. Tziv, because it says in that pasuk, Nosan. It's a nicer way of saying to give off stink. V'lo ksiv hisriach. It doesn't say it smelled. Right? It's a more foul way of saying it. So Hashem understood. Still has some kind of connection to us. Tana Rabbanan, aluvin the eino ulvin. If somebody bears a verbal abuse, he bears it. The eino ulvin doesn't give it back. Doesn't dish it out. He keeps it. He listens to it. Lets it go. Shomin cherpason. He listens to the cherpa. He listens to the abuse. The eino mishivin doesn't dish it out. Osin me'ava v'smechin b'yisurin. He does out of love, and he's happy in yisurin. And Rashi explains this is the yisurin of being the victim of verbal abuse, not necessarily having all sorts of yisurim. Just you take that verbal abuse with happiness. Aleihem akasav omer, about him the pasuk will say, v'ohavav kitzeis hashemesh b'gvuraso, and the loved ones will shine forth in gvura like the sun. The Archa Sadikim in Chahabusha, he says, or she says, that it's mida keneged mida, because if you're the victim of verbal abuse, you turn all sorts of colors, you turn red, you turn green, you're so embarrassed. So mida keneged mida, you take it and you suffer and you don't dish it out, you're going to shine forth in beautiful glory. And the Chavetz Chaim, of course, in Sefer Shmiras Halashim says that there are three types of people, there are three types of ways, he says in Shaar Tivuna and Perches, there are three types of ways you can react to when someone does this to you. He says the first madrega is she'eino ol v'chaveiro, but you do say something back. The second one is you don't say something back, but you really want to. You wish you could. You just keep him quiet. Either he'll make it worse, or you're scared of the guy, but you're itching to let it out. And he says the third madrega is where you accept it ba'ava, the yisurim. You accept it. This is, and he says here you know that it's not the guy. It's really Hashem who's giving you the like by David HaMelech. That it's really Hashem who's saying it to you, not this guy. He's just a vehicle, and you accept it be'ahava. And that's the haftacha is talking about such a person. That if you keep quiet because you're afraid of the guy, or if you keep quiet because you know he's going to get worse, that's not the pasuk. That's not the bracha of the pasuk. The bracha is where you know he's saying it, and you keep quiet because you understand that this is all coming from Hashem. Because it said the word ulba before, that it was a chutzpah, to have, right? That when it was a disgrace. So the Gemara has another memory about being disgraced. Amr of Yonasan, my diksiv, what does it mean in the pasuk? Hashem yitain omer, hamabasros, sava rav, kol dibur v'dibur shiatin pi agvura. Sorry, that ki yitain, Hashem yitain omer, Hashem gave his words, hamabasros, sava rav. It was very spread out. Kol dibur v'dibur shiatin pi agvura, nechal hashiv moshonot. Everything that Hashem said at Har Sinai was spread out among the 70 nations in all 70 languages. And the Sifrei Kabbalah say that this was the vehicle to be Mekabel Gerim. If it wouldn't have been in 70 languages, then the Goyim would have no chance. But now that it's all in 70 languages in the world, some mystical way, the Gemara seems to imply that it was available for everybody. Tana Devei Rishmol, Ukepatish Yofutzet Sela, like a hammer hitting the stone. Ma patish ze nechlak l'kamani tzotzos, just like the hammer, when it hits it, it goes into many different sparks. Af kol dibur v'divur, shetzi b'yir kodesh baruch hu, nechlak l'shivim l'shonos. It's split into 70 languages. Ben Yoyada said that the metaphor of the stone hitting, of the hammer hitting the stone, is the metaphor of Torah Shebal Peh and Torah Shebitzav. Torah Shebitzav is like a stone. There's no way to get into that. You can't break that up. You have a hammer, you have a Torah Shebal Peh, and you hit it, and you learn it, and you study it, it can make all sparks, and it can start to be understood, and it can start to make some headway. Amr of Chanan al Bar Papa, Ma'ed Tziv, what does the pasuk mean when it says, Shimu ki negidim adaber, right? Listen to the princes. Lama nimshalu divrei Torah kinogid. Why are the words of Torah compared to a prince? Lama lachmad nogid zeh yeshbo lahamas ulahachios. Just like a prince has the power of life and death, right? He can pardon anybody he wants, and he can sentence anybody he wants. Af divrei Torah yeshbehem lahamas ulahachios. Torah is the vehicle for life and death. Hanad amar rava limimiyinyan ba. If you have it in the right side of you, right? Meaning if you learn Torah properly, Sama dechaya, it's the elixir of life. Limits ma'elin, if you have it to the left of you, meaning you have it for the wrong purposes, Sama demusa, it's the elixir of death. And we always, what about, we talk shalolishma, balishma. So that's talking about a guy's learning, either because his learning is not lishma. Here, your learning is lara. You're only learning to be lara. That's what this means. If you're learning to be lara, then we don't say talk shalolishma, balishma. If a guy's learning because he wants to be popular, or he wants to have covet, okay, so lolishma, balishma. But if a guy's learning because he wants to start up with Rabbanim, and he wants to be a show-off, that's all lara. That doesn't have a betok shalolishma, balishma. Davar acher, negidim, kol dibur v'divish, shatzim p'yekodesh baruch hu, koshim lashnei kisarim. Everything that Hashem said had two crowns, which most mepharshim say is the crowns of los asay and asay. I know. There was something that someone said something about that. I don't remember. Amar Rishu ben Levi, my diksiv. What does the pasuk mean when it says Saror Hamar, the bundle of spices, Dodi Li is dear to me. Bein Shaddai Yolin, it rests between the bosom, between the breasts. That's a pasuk in Shir Hashirim. So what is that? What is that metaphor? Amar Knesses Yisrael Lefnei Kodesh Baruch Hu Ribono Shalom. Afalpi, even though Shemitzar Umeimar Li, even though you treated me bad, meaning you punished me by the Maaseh HaEgel. Nevertheless, Dodi Bein Shaddai Yolin, you place me in between your bosom, in between your breasts, meaning it's still a sign of affection. Rashi says, what's the sign of affection? Because right after that, Hashem gave him the mitzvah of building the Mishkan, and we know that the two, during the Mishkan and in the first base of Mikdash, the two poles of the Aron Kodesh, which were in the Kodesh Kedoshim, stuck out, Rashi says, it stuck out like two breasts. And that's the remez, that's the reference to the pasuk here in Shir HaShirim. So, why a metaphor like that? So, someone once told me this because that shows nourishment. That shows nourishment. When a baby is nourished, it's nourished from the mother's breast. That's where the nourishment comes from. And it's all an allusion to the fact that we're nourished in the Mishkan, that's our nourishment. And that's why it's such an unusual metaphor. That's the metaphor. It's our nourishment. Eshkol HaKofer Do Dili Bekar Me'en Gedi, that the pasuk in Shir HaShirim also about the Karme Ein Gedi in the vineyards of Ein Gedi, where my pile of spices was ruined, which is a reference to the Egel. Misha Hakol Shalo Mechaperli Al Ein Gedi, that Hashem has everything, He should forgive me for the sin of Ein Gedi. Rashi says that the Gedi, it means here a Gedi is any young animal, not necessarily a goat, and it refers to the Egel. So the Gemara says, Gedi shekaramtili, the goat that I heaped on myself, meaning the sin that I caused myself. My mash b'dahai karmi lishna d'machnish, who, how do you know that the word karmi means to pile up on yourself, to pile up? Mazutra b'reda Rav Nachman, because it's not like we have a mission in Kalim, kisei shal koveis, the chair of the laundromat, shekor malav es ha-kalim, where they pile up all the clothes. So it's called piling up. Vamer Yeshua ben Levi, my diksiv, what does the pasuk mean when it says, Lachyav karugas habosem, that his cheeks were like a bed of spices? So right, so Gemara says, "Kol dibur v'dibur shigatzen epir kodesh baruch hu," that every word that Hashem said, "Nismale kol olam kulo besamim," was spread out like spices. V'kivon shemadibur rishon nismale dibur sheni lehechon halach. So once the first dibur was covered over the whole world, but where did the second one go? Who was their room? So hotei kodesh baruch hu ruach meotzrosav. Hashem took out the ruach from his storehouses. V'yamavir rishon rishon. And he would spread out, and it spread out across the whole world. Shneimar, because it says, "Sif sosov shoshanim," his lips are like flowers. Notefuls moreover, "Al tikri shoshanim," don't read it shoshanim, flowers. "Ela shoshonim," but that it's repeated, meaning the halachas are repeated. This pasuk is one of the makoros of decorating shuls on Shavuos, because it says that the words were flowers. So the words of Torah compared to flowers in the Pashup Shat, so we beautify a Matan Torah with flowers. One of the reasons. Fomi Rishua ben Levi, kol dibur v'dibur shiotzim pipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every dibur that the Bnei Yisrael said, that was said to the Bnei Yisrael at Har Sinai, yatsa nishmasan, their souls left them. They died. Shal Yisrael, shenemar, because it says, nafshi yatsa b'dabro. So umayachar shemadibur rishon yatsa nishmasan, so if they had to hear number two, had to hear the Aseret Dibros number two, if they were already dead. So the Gemara answers, Horid tal sh'asid l'hachios bo meisim v'chaya osa. Hashem brought the dew of Tchiyas HaMeisim, whatever that is, and it was m'chaya meisim, all the Bnei Yisrael, each time. Shneimar, like it says, Geshem nidvos tonif elokim nachlasecha, the hard rains Hashem brought down, vanilla atokonanta. So what's the purpose for this? Why did everyone have to die? So Sfasema says that here you see that in order to be a Kohen at Torah, you have to have Mesiris Nefesh for Torah. That it was built into Torah. That without Torah, there can't be Mesiris Nefesh. Others say it's no different than what we're having now. We're all going to die, and we're all going to have Tchias HaMeisim too. It's a refinement. You're getting finer and finer and finer as you're going through Kabbalah HaTorah. Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Kol dibur v'dibur shiotzim pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every time the Hashem said another one of the Aseret HaDibros, Chazur Yisrael la'acho rehen. They were thrown back. Yud Beis Mil. They were so overwhelmed by the words that threw them back. Yud Beis Mil. V'hayu Malachi Asharis medadin osan. And the Malachi Asharis would led them back. Shneimar Malachi Tzivaos Yududun Yududun. Altik Yududun El Yududun El Yududun. That means that they actively brought back all the Bnei Yisrael to Matan Torah. So how come he contradicted himself? First he said that they died, and then he said that they just were thrown back, and earlier he had said that it filled up the whole world. Or they heard every dibur filled up the whole world. So which one was it? So he said it was dependent on the person. Some they died, some were thrown back, and for some it spread the whole world. Depends on the person. So someone asks over here, how can they have gone back? How can they have gone back? And they were outside the Tchum already. It was outside Yud Beis Mil, right? They're thrown back Yud Beis Mil, so they were no longer. How they get back? Yud Beis Mil is a different level of Tchum that might be according to everybody Doraisa. So I saw one answer. No, they were surrounded by the Anani Akava. The whole thing was a Rosh Hashayachin at Matan Torah.
Well, they didn't have Tchum in before his office.
Right. I mean, the whole question.
They do it.
It was a Machlokes. You were here.
Yes. Right.
Right. No, but this is a different kind of tchum. This is Yud Beis Mil tchum. Okay. Okay. You know, we'll stop now because the next Gemara is an entirely one story that goes for the next half page. Okay. Today's shiur was learned Le'ilui Nishmas Moshe Eliezer ben Binyamin HaKohen.